reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Seeing the crowd, Jesus went up the hill. Then he sat down and was joined by his disciples. Then he began to speak. This is what he taught them. How happy the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy the gentle. They shall have the earth for their heritage. Happy those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Happy those who hunger and thirst for what is right. They shall be satisfied. Happy the merciful. They shall have mercy shown them. Happy the pure in heart. They shall see God. Happy the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. Happy those who are persecuted in the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy you, when people abuse you and persecute you, and speak all kinds of calumny against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord.
Listen, there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. I think there's a third for us, and that is heaven, eternal life, the vision of God. Obviously the great uncertainties, whether we'll be able to meet next week, we don't know. But what we're sure about, and what we celebrate over here, is that third, heaven, eternal life, the vision of God. And a glimpse of heaven was a book and two DVDs went with it about Catholic churches built following Catholic emancipation. Of course, that was in 1829. Ours, one of those early ones, 1843. And as I wrote in last week's newsletter, the link between a dedication festival and today's Solemnity of All Saints, and of course tomorrow and the day after, Monday, All Souls, and heaven, where we pray and where the saints are in glory. And our churches, where we come week by week, even day by day, as pilgrims, especially to Mass. St. John, in that first reading, is caught up, and he said he was caught up on the Lord's day to the worship of heaven, the Lamb's Supper, and the Lamb they see as Mass. Here is heaven on earth. So that pilgrimage that we make through life here, as we walk day by day towards the end, which is the vision of God. So that great link between the place we come on pilgrimage, every one of our churches, not just going Walsingham or Lourdes or Medjugorje, wherever it is, no, even just coming here, there's a little pilgrimage each time we come closer to the end, which is the vision of God. That's what we're made for. And our life is a preparation for that moment when we will move from this situation into eternal happiness. And in between, you've got the joys and the sorrows, you've got the agonies and the ecstasies, the pain and the well-being, and they all walk hand in hand up that hill that we know as Calvary. That's why, again, in our churches, we've got that way up the Calvary, all round where we are. So it's reminding us that's the way we're going. But the vision is through Calvary to the saints beyond. And that's why these pilgrims, they're meant to speak that church, you see, to their place, to that beyond the window, the east, to the sun, where there's no more death, no more sin, no more pain, no end to lose, but life everlasting. And all that we celebrate is what Jesus gives us. That's why what we do, we gather his command. And he says, do this. He feeds and nourishes us on our pilgrim way. And that's the love that the Father has lavished on us by letting us be called his children. John, in that second reading there, tells us and reassures us of that. And that's the reading that is always set for the evening, if we bring one in on our very last journey, as I can do with Jackie Leather on Monday evening, coming in. That's that first reading. Think of the love the Father's lavished on us because we belong to Him. And all of the things we talk about when we hear, which is God, Jesus, the Church, the sacraments, Our Lady, the saints, are all leading us in that same direction to heaven. Because what God really desires for all of us, that's why He loves us and He sent His Son to be with us, is that we participate in His own Trinitarian life. Which is to say, the life of love. And that's why heaven is love in its fullest sense. Love complete. Because the Father loves us, He loves the Son in the power of the Spirit, they're all that love together, and we are brought by Him there. That's why St. Paul, in that very famous section, 1 Corinthians 13, we know his great theme of love, says these things, three things loves, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And in heaven, faith and hope will fade away, but love will endure. Because heaven is the place where everything that is not love has been burnt away. So that heaven is the fullest and the deepest longing of the human heart. And in all that's going on around us, and I would say the great uncertainty is whether there's another lockdown coming, or what we all hope maybe that they'll stop at the Tamar and say they're all right for the rest of them, but that's not even there at one level. But what they can't take from us is faith and hope and that love. And we hang on to that in the midst of all that may be happening. We've a lot of ill people as well at the moment. I shall come to that in our prayers. But that faith and that hope that we need here and now, and the love that supports it, that deepest longing of the human heart. Scriptures give us many images, different images of heaven and in tradition. There's the banquet, wedding feast, the wine of the kingdom, life, light, peace, the Father's house, paradise, heavenly Jerusalem, eternal rest, refreshment, the new heavens, the new earth, the city of God, the beatific vision, to name just a few. But through each of these images, they all speak some truth concerning heaven, because the reality itself lies beyond our imagining, since it's equivalent to the very life of God. That's what heaven is, the life of God, being with God, eternally with God, that no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man can see. Heaven, then, our spiritual home, and home where our family lives. In this case, the family of God. And it's why we're so often here at our funerals, as you know, because we're often here, many of us, at the same things. The words of Jesus, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you and take you to myself. So that death is not the end. We're always alive to God. And the saints, therefore, are our family. That's why people say, oh, don't like statues and things. But statues are like the pictures you've got on your walls or on your mantelpiece, or maybe you have your pictures of your family, or your wedding photos, or your grandchildren, or your grandchildren, or whatever it is, our family. And St. Teresa of Calcutta often said, we aren't called to be successful. Rather, God calls each of us to be faithful. This means that the saints were sinners, as we all are, but we who never gave up and they never quit on God, whatever was against them. They persevered. They never stopped trying to do and to be better, to live those beautiful attitudes that Jesus gave us in that gospel reading. Or St. John Henry Newman said, heaven is at present out of sight, but in due time a snow melts and discovers what lay what it thereby. So in this visible creation fade away before those greater splendors which are behind. Or C.S. Lewis, a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. Or Cardinal Basil Hume, the meaning of things and their purpose is in part now hidden, but shall in the end become clear. The choice is between the mystery and the observer. And the one who will understand, who will forgive, who will console, that was the Cardinal's view of God.